Tom Horton is wheeling himself up a steep ramp behind his Victorian home in Northampton. He can't quite make it to the top without his wife Sarah's help.
All right, dear, are you ready?
Horton spent decades as a fiercely independent and active businessman. Among his ventures, a successful eco-resort development company. His life changed dramatically one February afternoon in 2008. He was pruning an oak in his backyard.
I combined three or four of the most dangerous things that someone can do. A chainsaw, a ladder, distraction of my children, and a tall tree.
He fell about 25 feet, broke two vertebrae in his back, and severed his spinal cord midway up his chest. Sarah Horton remembers the moment she saw him in the emergency room.
And Tom actually said to me, you know, I'm never going to walk again. And sort of deep in my heart, I sort of knew that was going to be the case. But I really didn't think about the fact that he was going to be in a wheelchair. I couldn't imagine it.
I'm not sure it really sinks in until you're in rehab, until you see people in a wheelchair. The idea that, you know, that's what you're going to be doing to move.
And so began Horton's first fraught relationship with the metal equipment that would do what his legs used to do. In the rehab facility, he was given a generic chair that didn't quite fit. When the hospital let the Hortons out for a day trip, they were terrified.
We just felt so vulnerable. We were scared we were going to bump and he was going to fall out of the chair. We were scared of people bumping into us because no one really sees you when you're in a chair.
He then ordered a custom-made manual wheelchair that arrived several weeks later. But the physical therapist had overestimated his size to the manufacturer.
They can't take the risk that you'll gain 10 pounds and won't be able to fit in your chair because you have to live with this chair for 4 or 5 years. That's all the insurance company will reimburse for.
And also just trying to adjust to the thing was very difficult. You have to actually call the company up to have them come over and bring the right tools.
The chair also didn't adapt to the increasing stiffness of his injured body. So Horton spent a lot of time in bed rather than in the chair.
There's a whole physical side to that, and there's a whole emotional side, and of course everyone knows that those are intertwined.
As Horton slowly adjusted to his new life, his entrepreneurial spirit started to come back, and he focused on getting a better wheelchair. To stay fit, he wanted to stick with a manual chair, not electric, and he learned of a lightweight chair built in Canada. It wasn't cheap, and he asked his relatives for the $8,000 to buy one. It was narrower, easy to take apart and put in his car, and easy to loosen or tighten depending on his changing size or ability.
I can play with it until it fit me perfectly, and it becomes more invisible to people around me because they're not looking at my wheelchair, they're looking at me.
He thought, wouldn't it be great if everyone had access to a chair like this? So he called the two men who had invented the chair, Jeff Adams and Christian Bagg, both of them medal-winning wheelchair athletes. Horton offered to combine his business experience with their design know-how to start a new company, Icon Wheelchairs. The first goal was to engineer a new flexible, adjustable chair at half the cost of the previous model. Adams says they started with what they knew about high-end racing chairs.
And we both saw the technology of our respective sports getting better and better. And as people who used wheelchairs were really frustrated that the wheelchairs that we relied on for our day-to-day activities really weren't doing the same thing. You know, there was no real innovation or progression of technology.
Adams says Icon's debut wheelchair borrows from the latest car and mountain bike technology, including suspension and quick release. At $4,300, it's cheaper than earlier models, Horton says, but it's still part of the high-end lightweight market, which accounts for about $150 million of the billion-dollar wheelchair market. Horton brought in investors who specialize in socially conscious businesses with the expectation that the wheelchair market will grow as more injured veterans come home. And there's already some buzz in the disabled community. Ziggy Landsman oversees assistive technology for the United Spinal Organization.
You see a lot of chairs come out, oh, we've got a new color, or a new design, and sometimes it's just a material swap. These are actually physical features that they've incorporated in there that to certain people will be very useful.
But others say plenty of personalized wheelchairs are out there already. The hard part is picking the right one and learning how to use it. Marty Ball is vice president of an Icon competitor, Tylite Wheelchairs. And while Ball is willing to call the Icon wheelchair innovative, He says it's not an easy market to break into, since wheelchair users tend to stick with the familiar.
It's a tricky, tricky thing to make something that looks okay and functions better than what came before. That's what we're all trying to do. Because more and more people are learning they can live life in a manual wheelchair. Now, building confidence and rebuilding self-image for somebody who's recently injured, you know, that's the tricky part.
The first run of 40 compact modular Icon wheelchairs shipped from Canada in December. Tom Horton says most of them are sold. And now his 7-year-old son wants one for his birthday so he can race his dad down the street. For New England Public Radio, I'm Karen Brown.